Vachyam vachakam ityudeti bhavato nama svarupadvayam.
Vachyam vachakam ityudeti bhavato nama svarupadvayam.
Purvasmat parameva hantakarunam tatrapi jani mahe.
Purvasmat parameva hantakarunam tatrapi jani mahe.
Yastasmin vihita paradani vaha prani samantad bhave.
Yastasmin vihita parada nivaha prani samantad bhave.
Asye nedam upasya sopihi sadanandam buddhau majjati.
Asye nedam upasya sopihi sadanandam buddhau majjati.
Vachyam.
Vachyam.
The object described.
The object described.
Vachakam.
Vachakam.
The words.
The words.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Udeti,
udeti
rises,
rises.
Bhavato,
bhavato
of you,
of you.
Nama,
nama
of the name,
of the name.
Swarupa,
swarupa
the form,
the form.
Dvayam,
dvayam
both,
both.
Purvasmat,
purvasmat
as before,
as before.
Param,
param
great,
great.
Eva,
eva
indeed,
indeed.
Hanta,
hanta
indeed,
indeed.
Karunam,
karunam
compassion,
compassion.
Tatra,
tatra
there,
there.
Api,
api
even,
even.
Jani
mahe
we know.
We know.
Yes.
Yes.
One who.
One who.
Tasmin.
Tasmin.
Ayan. Ayan that. Vihita parada.
Vihita parada.
Committed an offense.
Committed an offense.
Nivaha.
Nivaha.
Multitude.
Multitude.
Prani.
Prani.
Living entity.
Living entity.
Samantad.
Samantad.
Completely.
Completely.
Bhaved.
Bhaved.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Asyena.
Asyena.
With the mouth.
The mouth.
Idam.
Idam.
This.
This.
Upasya.
Upasya.
Worshipping.
Worshipping.
So.
So.
He.
He.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
He.
He.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Sadanandam buddhau.
Sadanandam buddhau.
In the ocean of bliss.
In the ocean of bliss.
Majjati.
Majjati.
Plunges.
Plunges.
O holy name, you manifest two forms, the supreme person you designate and the sound vibration that designates. We know that the second form is more merciful than the first, because even if a person offends your first form in many ways, you plunge him into an ocean of transcendental bliss if he serves your second form with his voice. Over years, I particularly like this verse a lot, because every moment I'm at home, at temple, many places. There's so many rules and regulations according to Vaidhi Bhakti that we have to follow, that you have to offer your obeisances to the deities many times, and you should not turn your back, and many things. And even while deity worship, so many mantras you have to chant properly. But I commit many mistakes. Some of them are like knowingly, like most of them are knowingly, and many more unknowingly also. And I always, after the fact, I always repent that I have done this mistake. I don't know what to do. And then, of course, there are other prayers that you chant to mitigate your offenses. And even I heard that when you start deity worship for the first time, you don't start with Radha Krishna deities, because you have to follow so many regulations and there's so many rules. But when I heard this verse, it is said that if you just chant the holy names, not only that all those offenses are not counted, what you have done to the personal form of Krishna, but actually it will plunge you into the ocean of bliss. And majjati, like just plunging someone. And I was remembering that when you do Ganga Snan, when you go try to take a dip in the Ganga, you voluntarily don't take the dip initially because you're afraid of the water. But someone comes and they just push you down. Then you can see, like, you just wake up with, like, so you're so fresh after that. So when it says that it plunges you, the Holy Knowing is saying, like, it's okay, you committed offenses, you just pushed you down. So that's why I always like that, knowing that Holy Name is a person himself. Like, many times I forget that, but if you just think that he's a person, he's just pushing you down into the ocean of transcendental bliss. That's very inspiring for me.
Jai, Haribo, Hare Krishna. Anything more about this verse? Comment, Bhakti George?
Well, the only comment I can say is that Krishna is really very so merciful, because we really do make a lot of mistakes, and it's just amazing how merciful he is, that here he's just giving you his name, and just by chanting that, we can purify ourselves.
Thank you. Asyena idam upasya. Worshipping with the mouth. It's kind of unusual too, isn't it? I mean, the tongue, the mouth, it's such a strong kind of, it's a strong sense. Whatever's in the heart, it wants to come out through the tongue and speak something. The other day when we were driving to Sankirtan, we were discussing the austerities in speech. And Ram Lakshana Prabhu had pointed out that the tongue, it can speak all day long about anything that it feels like. It just does it. But when you actually think about saying something about Krishna and speaking seriously, then you have to... You know, he was saying, I'm sitting here thinking carefully, you know, what should I say? I'm silent for a few seconds, you know, considering what to do to say something properly about Krishna. And this upasya, this using the tongue for worship, is very important because it's such a central point. It's brought up in the Padma Purana also. Atashri Krishna namari nabaved grayam indriye sevun mukhi jivado swayameva spuratyada. That by using your tongue for worship of Krishna, by vibrating the sacred syllables, intentionally doing that, repeating over and over again, then it affects all the other senses. And also, Krishna will reveal himself to such a person by this process. So it's being brought up here again, that Krishna has a form, and it's non-different. It's the same in all the aspects, because he's absolute. But this particular form, the mantra murti, iti murtya abhidhanena mantra murtim amurtikam, yajite yajna purusha sasam yag darshana puman. Narada Muni says in his prayers that this particular form of Krishna in the mantra murti is the least difficult way to see Krishna. So amurtikam means not difficult. Murti implies a kind of, it means form and it means difficulty. So amurtikam means there's no difficulty in seeing Krishna through this form. So asyena idam upasya means that you can worship Krishna in this way just by vibrating, using the tongue to say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna is the supreme mystic. He emanates this whole world. Everything comes from him. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartite. All energies of cause and effect, all the separated material energies, even the tatastha jiva, the soul, it emanates from Krishna. The entire spiritual world, parastasmat tu bhavo nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. That's beyond this manifest and unmanifested world. That's coming from Krishna also. It's all emanating from him. And he's in his name. And he'll appear. He specifically appears in his name. Therefore, this form of worship, asyena idam upasya, by using the tongue and the mouth to worship Krishna, it's the most phenomenal thing. I remember being in, I was two Kartiks ago, coming out of Kartik, you know, if you, you stay in the Dham for a month. Don't move. Just stay in there. Don't go to Delhi. Don't go to anywhere. Just get in the Dham and stay there and chant all day long. You know, use 1 month where you don't, you sleep, you take prasadam, But then the rest of the day, nothing but chanting. Just chant, 30 days, you know. Then if you come out of that, once you leave the Dham, you come into Delhi, for instance. I had to go to Delhi to this place to buy incense. And I was with my godbrother, Prem Kishore. And we were intoxicated because we had been in the Dham, you know, chanting. And the difference in the environment when we got there. And I just remember, he couldn't stop saying Ram. People would look at us because we were in dhotis and stuff. And they'd say, Hare Krishna. You go, Ram, Ram. And we got intoxicated going to everyone, Ram, Ram. And the name was like palpably bouncing off of everywhere. And we were smiling and just feeling happy that, you know, Krishna was there in his name. And he is. He's there all the time. So we have to take advantage and worship Krishna with the tongue. And Prabhupada mentions also that it's a kind of practice. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye pranam vavesha samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. You have to practice, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. You got to practice this. You got to practice whatever you want to be good at, you got to practice. And this yoga, huge connection with Krishna, huge connect. You got to keep connecting. And you got to practice. And the best way in the Kali Yuga is to connect through this upasya of the tongue, the worship of the tongue. So keep it going. Keep the vibration going and practice. 16 rounds is a minimum. You have to practice. And if you do 16 rounds, do 16 good rounds. Like really practice it. Enunciate it. Say it. Hear it. Meditate on it. Be there when you're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Don't be somewhere else. And don't think something else. Keep coming back to the name. That in itself will fully manifest Krishna in your life. Just that. Just that practice. And then everything else in life becomes blessed. If we have a temple community and everyone's doing that, then everyone becomes enlightened at the same time. If we chant together, we encourage each other to chant at least 16 good rounds a day. Then, I mean, a chain is as strong as its weakest link. If someone's not chanting or something like that, then you can't depend on them. You know, they don't have that positive impetus that I'm going to do more service. They're thinking, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't, because they're not tasting something. So, like, when Prabhupada originally, he had these centers all over the world. And then what do? Because now you have all these people everywhere, and you got to take care of them, right? There's thousands of them. So then he had a system, like, there's senior devotees in GBC, and they're supposed to go around and come in and make sure, the first thing was make sure everyone's chanting and following the principles. Why? Because if you're doing that, everything else comes naturally. If you chant 16 rounds with concentration and love, and you follow four regulative principles, come hell or high water, you make advancement in spiritual life, like anything. Nobody's doing it in the material world. Everyone's doing the opposite. They're thinking all different ways to break the regulative principles and more innovative ways to break the regulative principles. And chant Hare Krishna, they're asleep to it. So we have to awaken ourselves to the power of this chanting, that Yogeshwara, Krishna, is there within the name, and that everything comes from the name. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kohe Suridha Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Developing this understanding that if I chant Hare Krishna, I worship Krishna with my tongue, then everything else good will come. My intelligence will come. I was one day, I had left the temple, it was late at night. I drove down to get gas down at the gas station there. I just happened to run into Acharya Chandra and Aruni. They had simultaneously driven down there to fill up their van. They were living in San Francisco at the time. And my mind was going on and on about so many projects that I'm thinking, we got to do this, we got to do that, and just thinking all the things that I want to happen, you know. It's like, as I was pumping gas, I was revealing this to Acharya Chandra. And he said in his sagacious way, you know, he said, well, the way I always think about it is that the main thing I'm responsible for is my 16 rounds. And if I do that properly, then Krishna will take care of all the projects and all those other things. And that was a revelation to me. I got in the car and I thought, yeah, that's it. Let Krishna do it. I still want him to happen, but I'm not going to do it. How can I move any of this energy? You know, it's so hard to move the energy in the material world. You can try to move it one way and then, you know, the tax collector calls and goes, guess what? You lost all your money. You know all that money you worked your whole life for and that you thought you had? You don't have it anymore. But Krishna, he moves everything, and if I invest it in worshiping him through his name, through these divine syllables that have been manifested through the great sages, and that Krishna himself is canvassing, coming and saying, here, I'll give you a process, you can attain all success by this, then if I take that as my heart and soul, everything else good will happen in life. And everything good on the material platform, I heard Prabhupada say yesterday, you can't get more, and you can't get less. On the material side, it's fixed up. You won't get more, and you can't get less. Then you're all you're destined. And the things, the calamities that are set to come, they will come. But the person who's chanting, he or she feels, let them come. They're going to come anyway. They have nothing to do with me. They're just my prarabdha karma burning out, spinning out. And I no longer claim them anymore. They're mine. I created it. It's my, I've cooked it, and now I have to eat it. It's coming, but but I'm no longer attached to it because I'm moving on. You have to become unglued from this world. You ever heard about somebody becoming unglued or unhinged? Sometimes they say, "What happened to Steve? Oh, he's unhinged. He's become unhinged." So the devotee, through chanting the name of Krishna, actually feels this unhingement from the material world, no longer hinged to the prarabdha that's coming, the good or the bad. The good comes, he thinks, okay, Krishna just gave me a bunch of money or a big car or something like that. It's like, you know, I'll use it in his service, but, it's not my thing. It's not mine. Manasa deha geho yoki chumur. I'm no longer responsible for myself. Krishna's responsible for me, and I'm his sold-out slave and animal. Simple, isn't it? I'm Krishna's slave. I'm his animal, and he can do whatever he wants with me. I have no more business here, except for whatever he wants to do. Now I have no more anxiety. And as soon as I think, you know, it's my thing, I have to manipulate it, I have to keep it, I have to hold it, something like that. So, dukeshu anuvigna manaha sukeshu vigatasprija. Vitaraga baya krodha stita dir muni uchite. Krishna says to become the stita di, the person fixed in consciousness, is like this. Dukeshu anuvigna means that when distress comes, he's not attached to it. Let it come. It only pertains to my prarabdha karma. And sukesha vigatasprija, he also renounces any connection to the happiness in the material world. If he comes somewhere and someone offers him sandalwood pulp and a big garland and a big welcome, he doesn't become overwhelmed by that and think, oh, this is my good fortune, I'm such a fortunate person. He just takes it. These things are coming, some good, some bad. And vitaraga bhaya krodha means that there are these three categories of anxiety in the material world. Raga, bhaya, krodha. And they pertain to my attachment to the material world. And to the degree that I connect myself with my prarabdha karma and with the material things in my life, including my body, to the degree I'll experience raga, which means intense attachment. Bhaya, which means fear that I'm going to lose it. Someone will take it from me. And krodha, anger that someone did take it away from me. Or even thinking about, like, you know, they might take it away from me. So Krishna says, vitaraga bhaya krodha, the stita di muni, he gives up all those things. If they come, if they go, what can I do? It's all up to Krishna. And all this mentality comes from chanting Hare Krishna. This verse, vacham vachaka mityu deiti. Bhavato, Krishna's manifest in his form as the syllables of Hare Krishna, and it's the most merciful form that brings us all detachment and all knowledge, all intelligence. So we should fully embrace this kind of worship of Krishna by exercising the tongue and hearing the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and making plans. Everyone's making plans in the material world. Make this plan, how to chant 16 rounds really well every day. Plan for that. You have to plan for it. Just, you know, plan it out every day. How am I going to chant better? How can I get around someone who's chanting better so I can sit next to them and I can chant better? Where can I be where I'll chant better? And if I do that, if I invest in that, if I make that plan, then all other plans will become successful in my life. Hare Krishna. Gop Premanande Adibol. Sri Rupa Goswami Ki. Coming from Srila Rupa Goswami gave us instructions. Hard to beat that. Now we have selected verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And these you'll find on the Meyer Lemon Color tab in your blue book. And does somebody have a favorite verse from the selection of Srimad Bhagavatam verses, which normally we would recite all of, but today we're going to have a hard stop at 10 o'clock. So we'll just ask, out of all these verses, is there one that you particularly cherish, that you've meditated on, that you've heard before, that brings happiness to your life? Vipul, yes.
1.2.18.
What page is that on?
It's second.
Second page, okay.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. By regular attendance in the classes on Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome with the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service onto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. I like this verse. But when for the first time when I heard about this verse, which you generally chant before the class. So this verse, when you come into Krishna consciousness, we understand how many troubles are there in the heart. So it very clearly says what are the two things, you know, by which the troublesomes will be destroyed. And then this became the motivation for me to attend Bhagavatam classes and to serve pure devotees. So therefore, I like this verse. It is a motivation for me.
Very practical. Nice realization. Thank you very much, Vipul. Hari Hari Bo. Anything else about this verse, since we're looking at it? Okay, let me put it in the form of a non-question. Give me a couple things about this verse that you notice. Notice something about this verse and then expound on it. Hansapriya, I think you need to turn that on.
I think it's very simple to understand, but it is still so profound. So people with a simple heart and, it's not very advanced in philosophy. It's very clear direction. It's given like rendering service to the pure devotee and then how it clears, the doubts in your heart. So it kind of gives us more impetus to look into what is the devotional service.
So when something's clear and it's spelled out, it's kind of like Vipul's point was, when you see it clearly in writing like this, then it gives you more impetus to practice it.
Right, because I think that material world is like many things. It's like so foggy and unclear, and you need a parent to hold your finger and to walk you through this, and I think in the beginning of the studying Bhagavatam, if we when we chant this verse, it's kind of holds us the finger to help us to walk through the advanced knowledge of Krishna consciousness.
Nice realization. Thank you very much. Two more things. Yes, Gandharvika, then Rakshit Prabhu.
It's more kind of, I'm trying to understand, Prabhuji, could you please explain why it is said here, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely, why it's not is completely?
Because this is an earlier stage being described. This progression that you'll find in the first canto, second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service, and these verses that are often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. For instance, he gives the whole succession of them in the verse, Mayasakta Manaparta Yogam Yunjan Manashaya. And he lists all these verses. They describe the progression of advancement in devotional service, as mentioned in Rupa Goswami's famous verse, Adau Shraddha Tata Sadasangatat Bhajana Kriya Tato Narta Nivritti Satato Nishta Ruchistata. So at different stages of advancement, there may be still some residual effect of the anartas within the heart. And however, they're not strong enough. They're reduced almost to nil. At later stages of devotional service, they are destroyed completely. But progressively, they're destroyed. And in the famous commentary in the Bhagavatam by Sridhar Swami from the verse Tattenu Kampamsa Samikshamano. Actually, I'm going to grab it if you don't mind. There's one towel here. Can someone throw that away? And if you don't know this verse, then I recommend that you memorize it because it's an essential verse in our philosophy. And also, it's a very helpful meditation. And it's the psychology of the devotee. This is 10.14.8. In fact, this whole chapter, 14th chapter, is very important. Yes, you can avoid depression. Tenu kampam sisamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapur vir vidatan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, who's speaking? Brahma. One who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word susamikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord, even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. And the Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. So there may be some residual effect of the anartha still remaining at this stage that's being described by this verse. There is. And then further stages are described when those are completely eradicated and there's no more even residual effect. By the way, in that discussion in the Madhurya Kadambini, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in describing these progressive stages of devotional service, specifically mentions the effects of aparadha. And if one commits a Vaishnava aparadha, for instance, the effects can linger for many lifetimes. And they last all the way up until the highest stages of bhakti and can affect our devotional service. Therefore, devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, which we've been exploring today and advocating, must go hand in hand with the proactive avoidance of offenses. Proactive means that I must be cultivating the opposite mood of aparadha, that is, how to serve devotees and specifically avoiding these kinds of offenses while I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Then I'll have full traction in this process. Otherwise, those kinds of things can affect my devotional service, and the effects will linger through different stages of advancement. Yes. 10.14.8. Okay, one more, Rakshit Prabhu.
Going to make the point about progression that you talked about, that this verse that Vipul Prabhu brought up is actually in a series of four progressive verses that are mentioned here, starting with 1-17 and going through 1-20. Vipul Prabhu brings up the verse 1-18. So in the prior verse, the Srinvatham Sva Katha Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana Riddhi Antastohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. Krishna, the verse is saying that Krishna is in the heart of the devotee, and the person who has learned to hear his messages, Krishna comes and cleanses the heart. Then comes this verse that Vipul Prabhu cited, where it says that by regular attendance in classes on Bhagavatam and rendering devotional service, then whatever that's troublesome in the heart part Krishna is removing. And then the next progression it goes to, which is the Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava verse, where he says that once these things are removed, then irrevocable service is established in the heart of the devotee, and things like lust, desire, and hankering, they disappear. And the important then event that occurs is one gets established in the mode of goodness and becomes very enlivened. And then when one is enlivened, which now comes to the fourth verse, Evam Prasana Manaso, the person has now become established in the mode of unalloyed goodness. His mind has become enlivened. He is now in contact with devotional service to the Lord. And what is the result? He gives positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from material association. So it's the whole progression that is there in these four verses.
Thank you very much. So each verse in the Bhagavatam is unlimited, and you can mine it. When Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy were speaking together, Kaviraj Goswami mentions that it was like freeing a mine of nectar. It's like with the 49ers, you know, when people, they came to the California to look for gold. Can imagine, most of them didn't find it, but some of them, they'd find like a huge mine. And, you know, they just strike into a vein that was unlimited. The whole mountain was full of gold. And so each one of these verses is like that too. We should enter into each one carefully. Look at each word, see how it relates to everything else. And there's a whole universe. And there's an orbit around each one of these verses that we can explore unlimitedly. And that's important for progressing in devotional service, as we mentioned earlier, that this fortification by understanding Shastra. After all, there are different levels of devotees mentioned in Shastra. There's the neophyte devotee or the Kanishta Adhikari. And then there's the Madhyama Adhikari. What are the differences between those two? Well, Kanishta Adhikari has very supple faith. The faith is, I should say, weak, and also doesn't know Shastra. A Madhyama Adhikari is very faithful, but doesn't know Shastra. But the Uttama Adhikari is very faithful and also knows Shastra. So Shastra is our guide and is the fortifying agent for the devotee. And therefore, in this verse also, it's mentioned that one should worship the Shastra. One should enter into the Shastra. The person who embodies the Shastra and also the Shastra itself, one should serve. And by doing that, tachchadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani shutaya bhakta shuta grihitaya. Try that again. Tachchadadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam bhakta shuta grihitaya. The bhakta becomes fortified by this process of associating with the Shastra, entering into the Shastra and reading it. So Prabhupada told us early on, he told our Sankirtan party in San Francisco early on, he said, when we came to him with all these scores, we said, you know, the temple president said, they're doing huge, Prabhupada, you know. And Prabhupada said, you must also read the books. We're like, read my books. So he wanted us to read the books also. Dainiti Prabhu.
Quick question.
Yeah.
You said about the last thing. I never actually heard that, Uttamadhikari, you know, knowing Shastra. So when he, you know, the example so many times is given about the gopis, how they, you know, just loved Krishna and they didn't know Shastra. But then we also know, at least I think I'm pretty right on this, that they actually did know Shastra in full. In their previous lives, they were fully realized in knowledge of Shastra, and that's how come they were able to take this birth, you know, as gopis, you know. And
well, that's not why they were able to take the birth necessarily, that, you know, that, I mean, some of the gopis, there are different kinds of gopis who, when Krishna plays his flute, there are different varieties of gopis who come to Krishna. Some are eternally liberated souls who come here for his lila. Some are those who, in their past lives, Vedas personified, and they were worshiping Lord Ram or observing Lord Ram, and they were praying to him that, you know, they wanted some kind of conjugal relationship, and he, that was, that's not his thing. He's married to, he's very upright, you know, moralistic, and you know, in that sense. So he said, "I'll fulfill your desires in a previous, in a next life." So they came into Krishna's pastimes as gopis because of their desire, you know, desire to worship Krishna in that way. And so anyway, you answered your own question. Those who are on that position, it's not that they're simple in the way that in the Leela they appear to be simple village girls, but actually some of them are the personified Vedas. And that's all there. Yomam eva masamudo janati purushottamam sasarva vid bhajati mam sarvabhavi nabharata. One who knows Krishna knows everything. And they've already come to that position, knowing everything completely.
I guess what I'm asking, you know, is how come it is always given as an example, though, that they are so simple and everything when they really aren't? I guess really that's my question.
Well, because devotional service is not based on knowledge. It's based on bhakti. Bhakti breeds bhakti. And it's not that by gyan. That's why I said it's not just because the personified Vedas, they wanted to have, because they had knowledge, therefore they could enter into bhakti. No, it's because they had the desire to worship Krishna in a certain way, and he fulfilled their desire. So if one is blessed by association with pure devotees and follows in their footsteps, one may attain the position of bhakti. And one who has done that, Prabodhananda Saraswati says that knowledge and liberation for a devotee are waiting outside to serve such a person. They're ready to render service because bhakti is supreme. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made very clear that only by following the methods of the gopis can one attain this kind of devotion. Arajo Bhagavan, Arajo Virjesha Bhagavan. Get me the verse, would you? No, I'm mixing two verses. So how are you going to find it? I have no idea. 10th canto. It's anyway, Mahaprabhu has mentioned this when he talked to Venkatabhatta in South India, that even Lakshmi Devi herself, she wanted to enter into the rasa dance. But because she was unwilling to give up her bhav as the goddess of fortune and enter into this bhav of being a gopi, she wasn't able to enter. He brought this point up to Venkatabhatta. That why is it, if you're worshiping Lakshmi Narayan, he was saying, he said, actually, Radha Krishna is the supreme form. And Venkatabhatta said, how so? He said, well, why did your Lakshmi Devi want to go worship Krishna in the rasa dance? And she was not able to attain that because she wouldn't give up the ego of being Lakshmi Devi and enter into the process of the gopis. What is the verse? Did you find it? That's another verse. Arajo Bhagavan Vrajesha Taniyas Tadhama Vrindavana Ramya Kachudupasana Rajavidu Vargina Vakalpita. This verse from the Chaitanya Majusha says that the supreme method of worshiping Krishna was that which was conceived by the gopis, and Mahaprabhu himself brought that. Nayam Sukapa Bhagavan. That's what I'm looking for. This is a very important verse, and it answers your question. Nayam Sukahu Bhagavan. Dehinam Gopika Sutta. That's the verse. Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita several times. It means Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan. Without this kind of, page 253 in your sloka book, without this kind of natural devotional service to the Lord, great yogis can attain it. The great gyanis can attain it. Nayam sukapo bhagavan dehinam gopika sutta dehinam chatma bhutanam yata bhaktimatam yata. Very easily one can attain Krishna by following this method of devotional service as it was given by the gopis. But those who are attached to the body, those who are jnanis, those who are great yogis, they can't attain that. So bhakti breeds bhakti. And actually, one who's in that situation has all knowledge. We see, from the examples of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who were directly in the Leela of the Lord and appeared here. They're full of all knowledge and able to distribute it to others as well. So when one has, when one is in that position, automatically he has, complete knowledge. But just by cultivating knowledge or knowing the Vedas well or something like that, one can't enter into devotional service. It's by spontaneous attraction through association and following the footsteps of those who have it that one can attain that kind of devotional service. Speaking of which, let's hear this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text Number 3, Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. Tam upashrutya nidadam. Tam upashrutya nidadam. Jagad bhaya bhayavaham. Jagad bhaya bhayavaham. Pratyudyayu prajaha sarva. Pratyudyayu prajaha sarva. Bartrit darshana lalasaha. Bartrit darshana lalasaha. Tamupashuta ninadam. Jagad bhaya bhayavaham. Pratyudyayu prajasarva. Bartri darshana lalasa. A couple chanters.
Tam upashrutya nidadam.
Jagad bhaya bhayavaham. Pratyudyayu praja sarva. Bartri darshana lalasa. Tam upashrutya ninadam. Jagad bhaya bhayavaham. Pratyudyayu praja sarva. Bartri darshana la. Ladies. Tamupashrutya nidadam. Jagad bhaya bhayavaham. Pratyudyayu praja sarva. Bartri darshana lalasa. Tamupashrutya ninadam. Jagad bhaya bhayavaham. Pratyudyayu praja sarva. Bartri darshana lalasa. Tam. That. Upashrutya. Having overheard. Ninadam, sound, jagad bhaya, the fear of material existence, bhaya avaham, the threatening principle, prati, towards, udyayuhu, rapidly proceeded, prajaha, the citizens, sarvaha, all, Bartr, the protector, darshana, audience, lalasaha, having so desired, Translation, the citizens of Dwarka, having heard the sound which threatens fear personified in the material world, began to run towards him fast, just to have a long-desired audience with the Lord, who is the protector of all devotees. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As already explained, the citizens of Dwarka, who lived at the same time of Lord Krishna's presence there, were all liberated souls who descended there along with the Lord as Antaraj. All were very anxious to have an audience with the Lord, although because of spiritual contact, they were never separated from the Lord. Just as the gopis at Vrindavan used to think of Krishna while he was away from the village for cowherding engagements, the citizens of Dwarka were all immersed in thought of the Lord while he was away from Dwarka to attend the battle of Kurukshetra. Some distinguished fiction writer in Bengal concluded that the Krishna of Vrindavan, that of Mathura, and that of Dwarka were different personalities. Historically, there is no truth in this conclusion. The Krishna of Kurukshetra and the Krishna of Dwarka are one and the same personality. The citizens of Dwarka were thus in a state of melancholy due to the Lord's absence from the transcendental city. As much as we are put into a state of melancholy at night because of the absence of the sun, the sound heralded by Lord Krishna was something like the heralding of the sunrise in the morning. So all the citizens of Dwarka awoke from a state of slumber because of the sunrise of Krishna, and they all hastened toward him just to have an audience. The devotees of the Lord know no one else as protector. This sound of the Lord is identical with the Lord, as we have tried to explain, by the non-dual position of the Lord. The material existence of our present status is full of fear. Out of the four problems of material existence, namely the food problem, the shelter problem, the fear problem, and the mating problem, the fear problem gives us more trouble than the others. We are always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. The whole material existence is full of problems, and thus the fear problem is always prominent. This is due to our association with the illusory energy of the Lord, known as Maya or external energy. Yet all fear is vanished as soon as there is the sound of the Lord, represented by his holy name, as it was sounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following 16 words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We could take advantage of these sounds and be free from all threatening problems of material existence. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This running towards the Lord, it says they ran fast towards the Lord. This is a symptom of ecstasy in the devotees. And you can experience this for yourself by being around devotees who run fast to meet the Lord. What comes to my mind particularly, one of the holy dhams that I'm particularly attracted to is in Jayapur, where Radha Govinda live. And if you go to Mangal Arati there, especially on a weekend, people, 3,000, 4,000 people come to the Mangal Arati to see Radha Govinda. And they got one reason for being there, and that's to see Radha Govinda. they wake up early, they take a bath, they put on fresh clothes, and they you know, they come from wherever they are in the city to see Radha Govinda. And just feeling the energy of these devotees rushing into this pavilion, into this temple room, you can feel the ecstasy of the devotees as they pile in more and more and more. It's an open-air temple room. And when the lamp is offered, it doesn't get passed around, thank goodness. But, you know, the Vajrayi just holds it out like that. And when you're in the crowd, there's a surge, and you could be crushed to death, and almost are when that happens, because everyone goes at once, and they're concerned, really, with just getting some benediction from the Lord. So this kind of feeling the devotees have, they're interested in... more than interested in seeing the Lord, they're compelled to see the Lord. He's the cynosure of their vision and of their lives, and he's their life and soul. So naturally, they are going towards them. In this particular pastime of Krishna entering back into Dwarka, Prabhupada's comparing this to the sun coming back up again. And at night, everyone becomes morose. In fact, this time of year, people become morose because the sun is less and less in the sky, and we get this darkened effect in the world. Some places, like in Sweden, it's only, you get about 2 hours of sunlight in a day. It's up and then it's gone. And it's depressing. A lot of people in Canada get this, and they have to get a light. They have these light boxes they sit by, and it helps them become more, become cheerier, because there's a little bit of light coming from that box. Light therapy, they call it. And I mentioned this before, but it's relevant in this context. But my father had Alzheimer's before he passed away. And when someone gets senile or has Alzheimer's, there's a syndrome called sundowners. And sundowners means that in the evening time, everything goes haywire. Like at night, my father, when he was still living at home, he'd start to set the table for breakfast as soon as the sun would go down. And, you know, as far as he was concerned, it was morning time. and all kinds of other disconnection to what was going on in the world. And a lot of people get it, the sundowners, when they're senile. They just become really disoriented when the sun goes down. So I was talking to my brother, because we were helping take care of my father before he passed away when he had Alzheimer's. And I was saying, yeah, this sundowners is really an interesting thing, you know, how this happens to these people who have Alzheimer's. And he said, no, it's not. And I said, why? And he goes, it happens to everybody. I said, well, when the sun goes down, everyone just goes to sleep. What is sleep anyway? People, really, scientists don't know. I don't know anything anyway, but, you know, as far as... no, that's not true. I forgot we had a PhD. It's very little, you know. You go into it, the more you know you don't know. And with sleep, there's sleep studies that go on. And what is sleep for, actually, is like, we don't know. I've heard this over and over again, studies about sleep. We don't know exactly why it happens. Well, we do. The sun goes down, Krishna's gone, and everyone says, forget it. Forget it. You know, and that is our nature. We are part and parcel of Krishna, just like molecules of the sun. We're connected to Krishna eternally. But there's a way in which, because we have minute independence, our vision can become obscured due to our wayward nature. If we become wayward and we become disconnected from Krishna, then our vision of him becomes obscured. And then there's a world of problems. That's what the material world is. And it's being described here by Srila Prabhupada. It's a world of problems. Bhayam dvitiya binibeshita syad. And the worst of them is fear. A fear means that although I have anything in this world, it's connected to a problem. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, that every kind of endeavor, even in this material world, is affected by some kind of fault, just as fire is affected by smoke. So you can't have any kind of perfect situation in this material world. And consider how problems are inherent in everything. For instance, someone comes in today, walks in and says, here's $1 million. Are all my problems solved, or do I have more now? well, now I have more. It's like, well, maybe I'll get killed on the way to the parking lot. You know, that might happen. The other day when I was handing Sonal a big bag of Lakshmi from our collection, we had about $800 from our door-to-door. It's in one day last Saturday. And so I gave it to Sonal, and we're standing in the middle of the dark parking lot, and she was thinking, well, put it in the car. I'll put it in the car. I said, okay, better put it in the trunk because someone can go through the window and take it out or something like that. There's a problem as soon as you have it. And, you know, someone gives me $1 million, and then all kinds of problems from my mind, thinking, why didn't you give me $2 million? You know, I have $1 million. It could have been two. And then, well, if I don't invest it properly, then I'll be in trouble. Or what if I lose it? Everything has a problem connected with it. And so there is one solution, and Prabhupada mentions this, that when Krishna comes, then all the problems go away. Just as like when the sun comes up, then all the things I was afraid of in the dark, they're revealed. Oh, that snake, that was actually a garden hose. And, you know, those weird sounds I thought were coming from a ghost, that was the fence scraping against the vine over there, you know. I see it all, and it's like, oh, no problem anymore. So when Krishna comes in, then all of the things I thought were problems are no longer problems anymore. How does Krishna appear? Through sound. We heard it in the Brahma Samhita earlier this morning, how Brahma first realized Krishna through the sound. He heard his flute. And that, inherent in that sound, all knowledge, all revelation, everything was possible. So Prabhupada mentions this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Before we see Krishna, we hear Krishna. Before you see God, you'll hear God. So hear God, and you'll see him fully through, as we mentioned this verse earlier, iti murtyabhidanena mantra murtam amurtikam. Yajite yagya purusha sasamyag darshana puman. You want a full darshan? Then hear him. Hear him properly, and then you'll be able to see him. And Prabhupada specifically mentions these syllables, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Apana samsritim gauran yannama vivisho granan tata sadhya vimuchita yabibheti swayambhayam. This is mentioned in the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is feared by fear personified. Just like the Yamadutas, practically fear personified. But when they came to take away the soul of Ajamil, they had actually had it wrapped up. And according to the normal interpretation of Shastra, they should have had it in the bag. They should have been able to take him away from there. And they had their hands on him. Can you imagine that close to losing your human form of life and completely, everything's ruined? And you're taken to hell, and hell is hell. And then the Vishnu Dutas came. Why did they come? He said Narayan. He said the name of God, and he was saved. So fear personified runs away whenever the name of the Lord is mentioned. And it's said in that chapter of Ajamil that from then on, the Yamadutas will not go near Vaishnavas. They were chastised so severely by the Vishnudutas and defeated. And then they were educated thoroughly by Yamaraj. So now they won't go near Vaishnavas. And what's a Vaishnava? Vaishnava is someone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, who chants, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is our mission. Jive Doi Krishna Nam Sarva Dharmasar. The essence of all religion is to show kindness to other living beings by loudly chanting the holy name of the Lord. And there's no louder way to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra than to distribute books. Because the mantra is written right in that book, and it slips right through the cracks of doors. It goes here, there, and everywhere, and it stays around for a long, long time. And it gets passed on from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. And there's no better way to spread a message through the written word. There just isn't. It's caused revolutions in the world. This Castro used it. He got thrown in jail, and they smuggle him in paper, and he'd start writing these subversive things and passing it to his girlfriend, who'd take it out and he'd give it to the masses, and the masses would read it and they say, revolution! So, Tadvag Visargo Janatago Viplovo, this Bhagavatam, it's meant to create a revolution. It's been smuggled in to this material world from the spiritual world. Through the disciplic succession, they passed it down secretly, and now it's being broadcast out to the world, and we pass it on door to door, house to house. Everyone we meet, we give them an opportunity to take this written form of the holy name, which explains it in detail. It's got, you know, every page you turn to, Namanyanantasya Yashon Kitaniya, it's got the name of Krishna written all over and an explanation to the name in every way that will capture the mind and make us run towards Krishna. So we have a singular mission here at ISV, and that is to show kindness to all living entities, beginning with ourselves, by distributing the holy names of the Lord as widely and profusely as possible, especially through these literatures that we have that are being printed by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. So today, we're continuing our marathon called the Monthly Sankirtan Festival of 20,000. And we have a big weekend. Indra washed the whole Bay Area for us on Friday. So the Yajnastali is clean, and people's minds are clean, and they're ready to greet us at their doors. And we have our spots picked out. We have books ready to go. We have vehicles with, we can go anywhere we like. And so we're going to do that. We're going to go door to door. We're going to meet people and induce them, beg them to take these transcendental literatures and to chant Hare Krishna. And we're going to invite them to come back. And our first goal was to reach 10,000 books by December 1st. And we're in striking distance of that goal. So if we really put out this weekend, this Saturday and Sunday, there is a possibility if we really put out. Is it all right if I say this? If we really put out this weekend, I mean, who knows? We could even get there before December 1st. So today's a big day. It's sunny out. Let's really go out and don't hold back anything. The members of the Panchatattva didn't make any discrimination, what was the proper time, place, circumstance, or who was a proper candidate. They distributed Krishna consciousness like madmen. And the more they distribute it, the more the contents increase. So let's do that also. Be greedy. Take more than your share. Go to more doors than your share. Take what's yours. Go for it. Really get out there and meet as many people as possible. This way, you'll be promoted in your station in Krishna consciousness. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he'll see. He'll see your endeavor in this way. Take the trouble to go out of your comfort zone, and do big. Do really big. And by doing that, you'll be promoted in your ability to hear and chant. Shru Shru Shro Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi. Sian Mahat Seveya Viprapunya Tirta Nishavana. It's great service. And it's pinpoint accuracy. We're right on the money as far as the service goes. It's been requested, it's authorized, and if you do it, and you do it with gusto, you'll get ruchi. You'll get promoted in Krishna consciousness. So go promote yourselves and promote Krishna. Go door to door, and then let's see what we can do over this weekend. All day Saturday, all day Sunday, we're going to make a full push and see what we can come up with. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Didn't quite make it, 5 minutes after. Hare Krishna. Anyway, now we're going to have the Guru Puja for His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, under whose direction we're doing all these things. And then we'll have prasadam, and as quickly as possible, we'll slip out the door. If we get an extra hour in, it could mean an extra 500 books with the kind of force we're going out with today. So we'll expedite things. A little bit shortened kirtan this morning, and then we'll have prasadam as quickly as possible, and we're out the door. Books are all available. Everything's sitting there ready to go in the middle unit and your car, everywhere. Oh, Ramananda's at your house as we speak. Okay. Sounds good. Okay, so let's put all the books away and then the asanas as quickly as possible. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.